Well, grab your Bibles this morning and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. We have a great tool in our country known as 911. When you are in distress, call 911 and they'll send help. If you are in distress because someone is breaking into your house, they'll send the police. If you're in distress because there's a fire, they'll send the fire department. If you're in distress because you or someone else is hurting, they'll send the EMS. 911 is there for us when we find ourselves in distress. However, greater than 911 is our God. When we are in distress, we can turn to Him for help. It does not matter what it is. It doesn't matter where we are. We have God when we find ourselves in distress. The book of Deuteronomy is what we're going to be looking at the month of September. We're going to be looking at different passages from the book of Deuteronomy. It was written at the end of the life of Moses as the people are about to enter into the promised land. In it, Moses gives the people instructions on how they are to live as they enter into the promised land and what the consequences will be if they do not obey the laws of the Lord. And so today, we will see where Moses told the people that they could seek the Lord and turn to Him when they were in distress. And so today, that's what we want to talk about. I want to talk about what do we do when we're in distress. So Deuteronomy chapter 4, beginning in verse 29, the Word of God reads, "But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find Him, if you seek Him with all your heart and with all your soul. When you are in distress, and all these things come upon you in the latter days, when you turn to the Lord your God and obey His voice. For the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not forsake you, nor destroy you, nor forget the covenant of your fathers which He swore to them." Let's pray. Lord, I thank You for this incredible, powerful, and beautiful passage from Deuteronomy. And Lord, I pray that You would challenge and encourage us today to know that when we are in distress, we can come to You at any time with anything. And Lord, I pray now that I would sit down and that You would stand up, and I pray that You would encourage us, that You would strengthen us, and that You would be with us each and every step of the way. Lord, we thank You and we love You. It's in the beautiful name of Jesus we ask and pray. Amen. The first thing that Moses says is the people need to seek Him. You know, in verse 29, it says, "But from there you will seek the Lord your God." In chapter 4, Moses tells the people to beware of idolatry. The land that they're about to take over was full of it. One of the reasons why God was giving them this land was because the land was full of idol worship, and God was punishing the people that lived in the land. He was going to kick them out and give the land to the Israelites. And so Moses warns them to be careful, to be aware of idolatry in the land. In verse 24, Moses warns the people that the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. And so we need to understand that God will not let anyone or anything take His place or take His glory. If you or I put something in our lives above God, God might just take it away from us. Because we are to worship Him first. In verse 27, Moses tells the people that if they serve idols, the Lord will scatter you among the peoples. In other words, if you serve other idols, you're going to be kicked out of the land and scattered to many places. And so chapter 4 of Deuteronomy, it starts out as a warning to the people as they get ready to go into the promised land to make sure they follow after and obey God and not have idols or not to worship idols as the people there were. If the people were to be like the other nations, if they were to follow after idols, then God would scatter them. This is a harsh warning that Moses is giving to the people. But in the midst of this harsh warning, Moses gives them hope. And that brings us to the verses that we're looking at today. Even though Moses gives them this message of the pain that will come from disobedience, he also gives them hope of what will happen when they seek the Lord. The people were to seek the Lord. God set apart the people of Israel to serve only Him. The people of Israel were to have no other gods before Him, before them. The people of Israel were not to have any idols whatsoever. There was absolutely nothing that the people were to put above God. And God had set the people of Israel apart to be a holy people. He had given them His laws and His instructions, and they were to obey them and to follow after them. They were to seek after Him. And I love what the text says. It says, I love this in verse 29. It says, "But from there you will seek the Lord your God and you will find Him if." Now, I like to tell you guys, when you're looking at Scripture, you need to pay attention to those little words. Those little words have a big impact. There was a condition to the people seeking the Lord. How were they to seek Him? With all their heart and soul. In other words, in that culture and society, the use of heart and soul meant everything. They were to seek the Lord with all they are. They were to seek the Lord with every part of who they were. Heart, soul, mind, body, strength. Every aspect, every area of their life, they were to seek God. And as we think about this, this is still true for us. We need to seek Him with all that we are. Today, this message is just as true as when it was written. You and I need to seek the Lord with all that we are. This means we cannot be sold out to Jesus in one area of our lives and still try to do it our way in another. We are to give Him all of us. Everything, every part. We can't ride the fence. We can't be half in and half out. Often we take the passage in Revelation out of context where it says, where Jesus is speaking to the churches and He says, "I want you to be hot or cold, and since you are lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out of your mouth, out of my mouth." I've heard people say God either wants you all for Him or not at all for Him. No, 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 that's not what it means. Hot and cold in Revelation is both good. Hot water for bathing, cold water for drinking, both good. Lukewarm water, not good for anything. And so God wants us all in. We cannot just be Christians on Sunday mornings. We can't just be Christians on Sunday mornings when it's convenient to us and we don't have anything else to do. It don't work that way. That's not what it means to be sold out to Jesus. Someone who is sold out to Jesus puts Him first. Above family, above friends, above job, above problems, above work. Jesus is to be number one in our lives, period. And when we don't seek Him, that's when consequences come. We can't say, "Well, I'm going to honor God on Sunday mornings, but on Friday night, I'm going to do whatever I want." It don't work that way. We can't say, "I'm going to honor God with my service, but I'm not going to honor Him with my giving." Again, we talked about last week the importance and the requirement that the Bible gives to give 10% to the church. That is not me. That is not the pastor. That is what the Bible commands Christians to give. And so Sometimes we honor him with our service, but not our finances. And then there's the opposite. There are some who give their finances and they think, well, I gave, so that means I don't have to do anything. Nope. You can't serve God in your finances and then not serve him with your service. God wants all of us, heart and soul, every part of us. So as we think about this, what can we do in our world today to seek the Lord? When you look at our world today, when you look at everything that's going on, when you look at the scariness, we need to worship God with everything that. So how do we do that? How do we seek the Lord? Well, first of all, we need to stay away from idols. You know, if you and I are to seek the Lord, we need to stay away from idols. An idol is anything that you and I put above God. It can be a good thing, like our family or our kids, but when we put them above God, it becomes an idol in our lives. You know, I've heard parents say, well, I didn't come to church today because my kid didn't want to come. Okay, so you're... kids is more important to you than God? Oh, it's interesting as we start thinking about this. An idol is anything that we put above God. Well, I don't have time to go to church. You got an idol. Because you have time to do everything else you want to. You make time to go fishing, but you don't come to church. Fishing can become an idol. You go hunting, but you don't come to church. You got an idol. Those are things because... here's the thing. We find time for what's important to us. If church is important to us, we'll go. If it's not, we won't. And when we don't show up, or we only come once in a while, what we're saying is, church ain't important to me. Because if it was, I'd be there. And it's interesting to think about that because so often we have idols in our lives and it's easy to happen. It's so easy to get caught up with the world. It's so easy to get crazy. It's so easy for all these other things to happen. And so we just need to get rid of the idols. We need to get rid of them. We need to take care of them. And so we need to stay away from idols. An idol is anything. And here's the problem with idols. Idols can be a good thing that we make a God thing, and when we make it a God thing, it becomes a bad thing. There's nothing wrong with having a job, but if we put our job above God, it becomes an idol. There's nothing wrong with going hunting and fishing, but if we put it above God, it becomes an idol. There's nothing wrong with loving your kids and grandkids. You should. I really hope you do. But if we put them above God, they're an idol. And it's interesting, we've got to be careful, because Moses is warning the people that when you go into the land, watch out for idols. The idols that we have today might not be wood and stone or little creatures, but it could be Facebook, it could be sports, it could be hunting, it could be fishing, it could be video games, anything that we put above God. So one of the ways that we seek the Lord is we need to stay away from idols. Another way that we seek the Lord is we need to spend time in His Word. It's in His Word that we learn about God. We understand the love that He has for us, that He's always with us and that He will forgive us when we seek Him. The Word helps us to see the love that God has for you and me. It helps us to see that we can turn to Him for anything. It shows us that we can come to Him when we're in distress. So one of the ways that we seek Him is through His Word. Another way that we seek Him is we need to heed the Holy Spirit in our lives. When we give our hearts and our lives to Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes in and lives in us. We need to hear what the Holy Spirit says and then obey. We need to hear the Holy Spirit and do what He's telling us to do. As Christians, we have so much. We have everything that we need to seek the Lord because we have His Word. We have the Holy Spirit. Now, for some, in order for us to seek the Lord, we need to surrender our lives to Jesus. We can't seek the Lord if we don't know Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior. The first step to seeking the Lord is to surrender our heart and our life to Him. God loves us so much that He sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. He shed His precious blood. And when we give our hearts and our lives to Him, we're set free. And that is the first step in seeking Him. And then finally, we need to serve Him. How do we seek the Lord? We need to serve Him in all areas of our lives. As we said, we can't be one foot in, one foot out. We can't be lukewarm. We are to serve Jesus with all that we are every day. Not just on Sundays, not just on Wednesday nights. We are to serve the Lord every single day. But here's the beauty of God. Because as we seek the Lord, as we try to stay away from idols, as we spend time in His Word, as we heed the Holy Spirit, as we surrender our lives to Jesus, and as we serve Him with all of our lives, we're going to mess up and make mistakes. It's going to happen. Why? Because we're human. We're sinners in need of a Savior. But God is a God who forgives us when we seek Him. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Oh, in the beauty. My dear friends, Moses was giving them a warning, kind of as I'm giving us a warning today of how we are to live. But we can't be perfect no matter how hard we try. We're going to mess up. We're going to make mistakes. And God loves us so much that He sent Jesus. And when we cry out to Him, when we confess our sins, He will forgive us. And in Him, we find hope and help in times of distress. And I want you guys to hear this morning. There is hope in times of distress. As Moses continues, he says, when you are in distress, and all these things come upon you in the latter days, when you turn to the Lord your God and obey His voice, He'll be there. You'll find Him. He won't forsake you. And so Moses tells the people that when they are in distress and turn to the Lord and seek Him, they will find Him. This is what happens to the people of Israel. And Moses knew it would happen because he knew how stubborn and pig-headed the people of Israel were. He knew that they would disobey. He says, when you're in distress and all these things come upon you in latter days. Well, it happens. The people would worship other idols. They would be kicked out of the promised land and they would be scattered to multiple nations. However, the day would come when they would turn to the Lord. They would turn and come back. And here's the beauty. That word turn that's used there, it means to return or turn back. So it is to come back to the Lord. It is to return. It is a word that is often used for repentance. So what Moses is saying is when you all get off track, when you turn to the left or the right, when you go the way that you're not supposed to, because you are a people of God, you are a people that's set apart, you belong to Me. And so when you turn and go the wrong direction, come back. Come home. Turn back. And so he says that you are to return to the Lord. You come back to God after you get off track. And this is beautiful because even when the people got off track, there was always hope for their return. When the people of Israel got off track, when the people of Israel served other gods, when the people of Israel did what they were not supposed to do, there was always the opportunity to come home. The people would be punished for their actions and wrongdoings, but God would also forgive them when they came home. And so I want to encourage you today, come home. It's easy to get off track. In the world that we live in with the busyness and everything that's going on around us, it is so easy to get off track. Sometimes we get off track because our jobs become so demanding. Sometimes we get off track and leave a church because we've been hurt by a church. That's something that I just don't understand, how church people can be so mean. You know, a lot of people leave the church because of something someone said to them. One that drives me crazier than anything is if you have a visitor in church, someone that's never been there, and somebody comes up to him and says, you're in my seat. Really, it ain't about you. Pick a different seat. One seat ain't more holy than the others. I've been sitting in that seat every time. I don't care. You're saying you sitting in that seat is more important than someone's salvation? And that's happened. That's happened here, unfortunately. And it's sad. You know, it's easy to get off track. And people leave church because they've been hurt by the church. Because someone said something or did something that they wasn't supposed to do. And that's why there's policies and procedures in place to help with that. And some people think, like, I'll just do whatever I want at the church. It don't work like that. You need to go through the pastor first and the deacons. If it's men's ministry related, you go through men's ministry. Because if everybody just did what they want, we'd have utter chaos. That's what happened in Judges. And so, it's so easy for, like I said, it's easy for us to get off track. In the world that we live in, there's so many distractions. There's so many things pulling us. And one of the worst things is the enemy. Because the enemy will tell us you're too bad to come home. You've strayed too far from God. You've gotten off track too much. Let me tell you right now, that's not true. I don't care how far you've gotten off track. I don't care how bad you've been. I don't care what you've done. God can forgive. And when you are in distress, you can come home to Him. We can put Him on a back burner and come to Him only when we need Him sometimes. Sometimes we use God as a vending machine. We get off track. We use God as a vending machine. I put my quarter in. I need a little bit of help, so we'll call out to Him. We can get off the right path. David and Peter did. But with God, we can always return and to know that He is waiting for us with open arms. And if you don't believe that, read the parable of the prodigal son. God is always waiting with open arms for His people to come back to Him in times of distress. It is beautiful to know that God is there to welcome us when we return to Him with all that we are. He loves us more than we could ever know, and He wants to bless us as we seek to follow after Him. My dear people, if you don't hear anything else I say this morning, hear this. God loves you. More than you'll ever know. More than your mistakes, more than your failures, because I'm here to tell you we all have mistakes and failures. Every single one of us has sinned against holy God. And if every single one of us was to tell things that we've done in our lives, we'd all be blushing. Because we're sinners. We need a Savior. And we find ourselves in distress because of our sin. And when we come to God, when we turn back to Him, when we repent, oh, the beauty. Because He loves us more than we could ever know. And here's something interesting to think about. Sometimes we need to be placed in a position of punishment for us to seek the Lord. Because sometimes we don't seek the Lord until we need the Lord. You see, we should seek the Lord at all times. The punishment that would be brought up on the people would lead them to turn back to God. You and I, we should always seek the Lord. But we get sidetracked by the craziness of the world. And when we get out of line, when we get off track, God shows us His love for us by disciplining us. Yes, when God disciplines us, this can be hard to hear. When God disciplines us, it's because He loves us. In Hebrews 12, we're told, because the Lord disciplines the one He loves. Sometimes we need a wake-up call. Sometimes the people of God get off track. Sometimes we get into a routine. Sometimes we just do what we've always done. And sometimes we need a wake-up call. And that's what would happen to the people. When we cry out to Him in our distress, He is there to heal and help. Maybe you're here today and you've gotten a little off track. Maybe you're here today and you're like, you know what? I really want to get back on the right path. Let me tell you, God's waiting for you. God's already waiting for you with open arms. It can be scary because, again, sometimes we can be like, well, I've just gotten too far from God. There's no such thing. He's ready. His arms are open. He's like, come home.
Amen.
Come home, my child. I'm ready for you. And it's so beautiful to know that. He's got his arms open wide. No matter our past or what we've done, our future is always bright when we seek the Lord with all of our heart and soul and return to Him. For some here today, it's time to come home. It's time to come home. It's time to come to Jesus with all that you are. There is a need for us to return to the Lord and obey. We cannot leave that out. When we turn to the Lord, we must do what He says. And we often don't like that because we want to turn back to the Lord and still do what we've always done. No, no, no. To repent means to do 180. We're going this way, we stop, and we go back the other direction. When we turn back to the Lord, when we repent, we are to do so in obedience. To seek Him, we need to obey Him. When we are in distress, we can turn to Jesus. He is always there for us to hear us and help us in our time of need. One commentary says this: this, in fact, is a promise that is still available today. Though you may have strayed far from God, if you turn to Him in true repentance, He will not hide from you, but will allow Himself to be found. He is a compassionate God who does not forget His covenant promises. And you know what? That's the beautiful truth about God. He is compassionate. He is merciful. As verse 31 says, for the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not forsake you, nor destroy you, nor forget the covenant of your fathers which He swore to them. God is there waiting for us because He is merciful or compassionate and He loves us. God is merciful. Oh, the amount of stuff that God has forgiven us of. I look at my life and God has forgiven me of a lot of stuff because I've done a lot of things wrong. I've sinned multiple times. Because just like everybody else, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I'm not going to stand up here and tell you I'm perfect and never sin because that's not true. And if I did, y'all know I was a liar because you've all talked to my wife at some point. And, you know, we are all sinners in need of a Savior. God is merciful. Think about how much He's forgiven you of. He has been with us, not destroyed us or forgotten about us. God could have destroyed His people and He would have been right in doing so. But instead, He was with them and He brought them back to the promised land. God will not forsake or destroy His people. We've just spent the last 4 weeks seeing how God is always with us and will never leave us or forsake us. That God is with us each and every step of the way. And here we see that He will not forsake us or destroy us. Now we have to be careful with this because God does deal with sin. Some of the people of Israel would be destroyed because of their sin. The people of Israel would be sent off into captivity because of their sin. Some of them would lose their lives. Some of them would die. But there would be a remnant left behind that would one day come back into the promised land and take it over. Some of the people would be destroyed for their idol worship. However, the people of Israel as a whole would not be destroyed and a remnant would remain to come home. And when we look at our world today, I want you to hear this, because you need to understand the power of the promises of God. Israel still stands today, though nation after nation after nation has tried to destroy the people of Israel. They are still standing, and the people of Israel will always stand, because God made a promise to Abraham that they would. And so when God makes a promise to us, we can know that it's true. There will always be a remnant from the people of Israel. Why? Because God said so. And because of that, we know that God will not forsake His church. That is, the church as a whole is strong today. The universal church is strong today. Individual units might be weak. Individual places of worship might be closing their doors because they're not following after God. Individual places of worship might be struggling to pay the bills and keep their doors open because they're not following after the Lord. But the universal church as a whole is strong and powerful and is on the move, making a difference in our world today. The church is still moving forward. The church is still growing because God has not abandoned His church. And when we look at this unit today, this is not the church. We are the church. But when we look at this individual unit known as Hopewell First Baptist Church, you know what we see? The mercy of God. You know what we see? The love and compassion of God. We can see that God is with us. We can see that we're moving forward as we seek after Him with all of our heart and soul. We can see that God is doing some incredible things. We got some firsts coming up in the next couple months. Things that people would have never believed or thought possible here. But God is doing great things and wonderful things. Here's the beauty. God has made a covenant with His people and He will keep it. God made a covenant with the people of Israel and He will keep it. You know what? God has made promises with you and I and He'll keep them. God will always keep His promises. It is truly amazing when we understand just how forgiving and loving our God is. As the people of God, we are to seek Him with all that we are and to obey all that He calls us to do. If we've gotten off track from this, we need to cry out in our distress and turn back to Him with all that we are. Hear this. There is no distress that you and I can go through that God cannot help us with. Some distress comes upon us because of our sins. Sometimes we're in distress because of our sins. That's what is happening here to the people of Israel. Some distress comes upon us because of someone else's sin. Not all the people that were exiled served other idols. Daniel was exiled, and we know Daniel was a godly man. But he was taken captive along with everybody else. So sometimes you and I find ourselves in distress because of someone else's sin. But we cannot use that as an excuse. Because sadly, some people will say, well, if they wouldn't have did this, I wouldn't. When you stand before holy God, He ain't going to judge you for what so-and-so did. He's going to judge us for what we did. And we cannot use what someone else did as an excuse not to be the men and women that God has called us to be. So sometimes we're in distress because of what someone else did. And some distress comes upon us because God is testing us to see if we trust Him. Abraham with his son Isaac, that was a test. The life of Job, that was a test. Sometimes God will bring distress upon us to see if we trust Him in our distress. In the midst of our hurting, there is always hope because we can turn to God. When whatever has you distressed today, seek the Lord and you will find Him. If you're in distress today, when in distress, seek the Lord, and He will be found. So what is God saying to us today? Do you need to seek the Lord? Maybe you're here today and you've not been seeking the Lord with all your heart. Maybe you need to say, you know what? It's time for me to come home. It's time for me to come back to God. It's time for me to return and seek Him. If that's you, will you come? Are you in distress? Do you have something that is just really burdening on you, then I want to challenge you. Cry out to God. Say, God, help me in my time of distress. Do you see the mercy of God in your life? Do you see His compassion? Whatever God is saying to you today, hear it. Lord, we do thank You for this day. We thank You for this passage, and we thank You for the encouraging words that comes from it. Lord, we are so incredibly grateful that You do hear us and see us in our time of distress, and that when we find ourselves in distress, we can cry out to You, we can call out to You. And so, Lord, I pray that we would do just that. I pray that You would speak to our hearts, that You would strengthen us, that You would encourage us. Lord, I pray that we would be a church that seeks You with all of our heart and with all of our soul, and that we obey the Spirit as the Spirit gives us direction and guidance to be all that You have called us to be. And Lord, if there's someone here today that does not know You, I pray today would be the day that they would return, or that they would come to You for the first time and surrender their heart and their life to You. Lord, maybe there's someone here today who needs to return to You, that needs to come back to You. Whatever it is, Lord, speak to our hearts and help us to be all that You have called us to be. We thank You and we love You. It's in the beautiful name of Jesus we ask and pray. Amen.